I wanted to ask about performing in these different places in Paris, Havana, Warsaw, France.
Yes.
When you've performed in those sort of spaces, whether it's in front of presidents or, you know, a sold-out crowd or just friends, does that space sort of make a difference of where you're playing?
The difference is, if I don't have my own piano, which I get most of the time, I did sometimes, that's difficult. Sound is always different in each hall. And that's why you don't play as you practice. Because it's all going to be different on the stage. Sound will be different from the room in which you practice. And so you cannot play as you practice. So you've got to be aware of that and rehearse on the stage, listen to the sound, find the best place for the piano to be. And all that is very, very important. Acoustics are really sound. Music is sound. And, you know, if the sound is, you know, that in the winter, places like Carnegie Hall, let's say, you know, the fur coats, the sound is different in the winter than in the summer. The coats and all that take up some of the sound. People don't realize that, really. And sound is, you know, if you have a record player, if you listen in one room, you know, that room is, it depends on what kind of reverberation in your room. If it's a dry room, it's going to be a dry sound. If it's not a dry room, you're going to have another sound, which would be much better.
I'm curious, it's a wide variety of musical styles as well, and just whether it's Haydn or Liszt or Chopin or some of your own music.
Yes, this time I've done that.
And it's really lovely. I know that you had looked at composition and sort of fallen in love with the idea of it being as creative an outlet as performing. Were you someone that liked pencil and paper? Did you like to compose, or do you like to compose at the piano or away from the piano?
I started composing when I was fairly young, as a matter of fact. And I wrote a song in France, which is a folk song. The first thing I really wrote, and I was so pleased that a man named Eddie Mornay, who was Edith Piaf's lyricist. Edith Piaf, you know, the great French.
Sure, La Vie en Rose,
and he liked it so much, he wrote words to it. And he called it J'aime celui qui m'aime, which means I love the one who loves me. That was one of the first things I wrote. And then I started writing more and more and more. I couldn't do anything with them, really, because I was touring 9 months of the year at that time, 3 months working on new things to play for the next years, you know, and so forth. So anyway, now I've written a show, and I'm working on another show, musical theater, I guess you would call it. And I really love it because I love the voice. You know, the voice is something that we pianists, artists, it's much more difficult for a pianist than it is for violinist, because he has only one hand that plays the themes, and we have two, and that is what makes singing on the piano difficult, but it is the essential thing to do. And I can't remember who said that. Listen to great singers. Actually, it was Chopin. And you will know how to phrase. You'll learn how to phrase. Because, you know, their breath, I'm getting a little technical here, but their breath, they can breathe only so long. We can breathe forever playing the piano. It doesn't matter. We don't run out of breath, but they do. And that influences phrasing. That influences how long you phrase a piece.
Yeah. Well, I know you've been involved composing and doing scores, The Hunchback of Notre Dame and Notre Dame, I suppose. And the idea of songs, and I guess is there still talk of a film about your book? Is this something that's going on with Martin Scorsese?
Yeah, well, yes, it is, and I mean, I'm very excited about it because I saw the script and I really liked it very much, and I'm just wondering how it's all going to turn out. But at the moment, that's about all I can say about it. But it will happen in the next few years.
I think any sort of major sort of media about classical music, whether it's Amadeus or about Stravinsky and Coco Chanel, it is a good thing.
Well, do you know the book that I wrote or not?
I haven't read it. I know of it, but I haven't read it yet.
Right. Well, you know, it's called Beyond Chopin, Chopin and Beyond, and it has a subtitle of My Extraordinary Experiences in Music and in the Paranormal, which is a word I don't like because I call it the unknown normal, because there's a lot of stuff that is unknown, like 90%. We know about 10% of what goes on in this universe. And I started having very strange experiences in my teens. Things would happen that I couldn't explain. And at one point I went to a monastery, to my wife's friend over there has a great friend of the monastery called Dolores Hart, who was a Hollywood actress, and became, whatever it is, became a nun afterwards. Anyway, I went there and I spoke to Lady Abbott, who had, and I told her about these experiences because I thought I was hallucinating. And she said, "Byron, sit down. I want to tell you what you're having, what happened to you is real. Number one. Number two, keep your feet on the ground. And number three, it's through music that this is, that you make people feel this extra other dimension. And it's very important. That's why music is so important to you and for you." So that's what this book is about.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I will pick it up, and the next time we talk, I'll definitely have more to ask. But it's so nice to talk to you, and congratulations on Live on Tour, and thanks for talking to us today.
Well, I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you.